2026 Super Bowl of Preaching. So great to have you guys wherever you're tuning in from around the world. Thanks for joining us for what will almost certainly be the weirdest and hopefully most fun church experience you have all year long. My name is Andy Ryder. I'm the community pastor of what we call Crossroads Anywhere. And that is the part of our church that meets online or in homes, bars, dorms, cafes, wherever, all over the map. So great to have you tuning in with us. If you're brand new, you picked a great weekend to tune in. This is going to be an amazing snapshot about who we are as a church and about what we believe it means to live that full, joy-filled life that that Jesus calls us to and that he has on offer for us. Now, we're going to have a lot of fun. And the whole thing is packaged around the idea of Super Bowl and what it looks like and if a church service and the Super Bowl got together, had a baby, and made this craziness that you're about to watch. Now, we're going to go down to the field in just a moment to not just talk about the Super Bowl, but actually get into the experience. We had our media team interview some of the teams and hear from them about what their strategy is going into the game and some of the team dynamics at play.
All right, what kind of strategy on the field can you share?
Yeah, you know, they call me the people's pastor for a reason. So when I think about this weekend, I'm thinking about who are the people I'm speaking to? What's going on in their worlds? What's going on in their lives? And I want my message to connect to where they are.
Chuck clearly has the amen corner in the audience because he gets more amens per passage than anybody I know. And I'm just honored to be on the same team with him.
You know, I just think, hey, there's a time for flash and show, and there's a time for a firm foundation. We have a firm foundation, and it's going to show up on the field.
It's the basic blocking and tackling. We've been knocking people around, knocking down the devil for a long time.
That's right.
We're all on it.
That's right.
Chuck, can you name all the Spice Girls?
Yeah. Oh, man, absolutely. So salt, pepper, oregano, Italian blend. I love smoked paprika. Did I say that already? Got some ginger, some turmeric. And there's cinnamon, right? You got your nutmeg. I definitely have lots of spices in the head.
Let's focus on your opponents. What would you say are their biggest weaknesses?
Ones that come to my mind, weaknesses, is one, clearly size. Do not have the size to handle the slam factor that we're going to be bringing. No question. Number two, don't have the maturity. Compared to those of us who are living successful lives, they're unbelievably young and untested and untried.
Here's another one, fashion choices. Like, fashion choices are questionable. I feel like I want to see more from them on the fashion side of things. And, you know, and you might say, well, who am I to speak? That's a good question, but I'm still speaking anyway.
Brian, Valentine's Day is just around the corner. What do you think that Libby really wants this year?
Anything DeWalt that's a 12-volt battery, done, got it. And then I would say the other thing is number three, Snap-on Phillips head screwdriver.
All right, Chuck, what would you say is probably the X factor for this Super Bowl of Preaching? It's going to get you that trophy at the end of the day.
You know, here's the thing. It's like every Super Bowl of Preaching we've ever done, it's going to come down to the fourth quarter. And you know who wins the fourth quarter? The person who wins the fourth quarter is the person who's poised. So at the end of the day, there's gonna be a turnover. Who knows what the referee is gonna throw? We never know that. But there's gonna be a team that has to be poised in the fourth quarter, positioned to win. And I'm telling you, at the end of the day, that's gonna be me and Brian.
Amen. Amen. See, he just gets it going. Amen corner every time. The man speaks, you have to say amen.
Brian, if they were making a movie about your life, who's on the short list of people you prefer to play you?
I would go nice rabbit. What's the guy's name?
Bad Bunny.
Oh, Bad Bunny. I would say Bad Bunny's got to be up there. Taylor Swift has to be up there for sure. I'd probably go Timothy Chalamet. Gosh, help me out here. I wonder how good I am on
man.
That stuff.
No, I think you're probably right. I am thinking like world leaders, like, you know, Putin's probably on that list.
No. You think Putin?
What is it about the two of you guys together that works so well?
Well, it's just like my spice rack only needs two things, salt and pepper.
Come on.
That's all we need, salt and pepper, salt and pepper. We got
it.
That going.
I love it.
I mean, you actually have that going on yourself.
I
got some white there.
But
salt and pepper, forget it. It's the standard, the only thing you need to get through a day, and the only thing
we're going to need to get through to
another victory is this combo right here.
That's right.
What are you doing
to just prepare yourself for Super Bowl or preaching?
You know, it's like good sleep, mm-hmm. exercise, hydration.
Yep. Well, this is actually really good prep for us because, as you can see, we dressed alike.
Didn't talk about it.
We train separately. But in this time of year, when we get the chance to do stuff like this, we realize, this works. This has always worked.
So going to Super Bowl of preaching, what's your strategy?
I mean, I'm thinking clarity of thought, clear thinking from beginning to end. It's a secret weapon that we have that the other team, maybe half of them do.
When we talk, you can understand what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And that carries through the whole message. Mm-hmm. And at the end, you're like, wow, I get it.
I got the point.
And I think that's probably an advantage we have in this matchup.
Yep.
So we'll lean on that strength for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Allie, say you're looking for some extra cash. What are some things you try to sell on Facebook Marketplace in a pinch?
My purse, my phone, my passport, my social security card. And then the same for all my family members. Bill's phone, his passport, his wallet, his social security card. Andrew's phone, wallet, passport, social security card. Zoe's phone, wallet, passport, social security card. All of those.
That's great.
Kyle, let's say you get shipwrecked and you're stranded on a desert island. What are some items you really hope to be stranded with?
Table saw. I would say my miter saw. I got to go bandsaw. I probably gonna be a reciprocating saw. I'm going to go Japanese handsaw, both the kind with the spine in the back and kind of goes all the way through. I would say my dovetail saw is also a good one. My coping saw, you can't live without a coping saw. Drill, not press, but this attachment that goes on my drill is pretty good. Drill for sure. Driver. Those are a few of them, yeah.
That's a lot of saws.
That's like, I probably need more.
When you look at your opponents, what are some things that you're seeing that it's gonna be their downfall? What are you seeing?
How much time do we have?
Just go for it. Yeah.
Okay. I can't comment specifically on that issue. But I know what we do. Okay? I know what we do. I see it day in, I see it day out, I know we put in the practice. Yep. I know we're doing it. And honestly, I don't know that we feel the respect from them that we probably deserve. I think there might be a little bit of a discounting of us.
All right. At the end of the day, what's going to be the X factor that gets you guys the trophy?
I'm going to say the Holy Spirit deep in our hearts.
I was going to say choreography. I have some.
That's a possibility.
In mind. I have some.
And we can. There's no. In a brainstorm, there's no bad ideas.
Well, if you put together the Holy Spirit and choreography, it's done. It's over.
Well, the whole season's been leading up to this. If you're just joining us, welcome to the 24th annual Super Bowl of Preaching. Greg McElfresh alongside my esteemed colleague, Hannah Shep Driscoll. I sense a little toot in the presser.
I mean, we got more than two. We had spicy spices in there. Everything was happening. And I tell you what, I think the editor had just quite a little bit of fun with that one. We saw that these teammates, they're poised. They're ready to take on the field. They're ready to take it to the next level. And it's anybody's game today.
That's right. It's time to meet them in real life. Let's throw it down to the field for today's starting lineups.
And now, your 2026 Super Bowl of Preaching Teams. First up, give it up for Team Tome! Y'all gonna make me lose my mind. Up in head, up in head. Y'all gonna make me go all out. Up in head, up in head. Y'all gonna make me act the fool. Up in head.
Up
the teams are out on the field. What a display of something. I've been calling this game over a decade. I still can't keep it straight. If somebody's new around here, lay the rules on us.
This is how it works. Well, you're going to see each pastor preach an 8-minute quarter. They have to use a scripture and a random object chosen strategically by not that pose, but by the opposing team. Here's how the points break down. You got 6 points for a compelling message, 3 points for use of the prop, 1 point as an extra point option, and now, as
I,
any
I
game.
I hate to interrupt you. I'm not sure if that's against the rules, but it should be.
It really should be. It really should be. And in fact, you have options for a negative 3 points, which is a penalty that can be assessed by the referee, Matt Castleman.
Well, speaking of, he moved up from the Foot Locker all the way to the old Sears and the Crossroads Dayton facility. Let's head down to the field for today's coin toss, Matt Castleman.
All right, let's bring it in for the coin toss. I want a good, clean game. Oh, shoot. I don't actually have a coin on me. Ever since we moved into our Dayton location at the mall, Crossroads has been paying me in gift cards from the mall. So... this one's an Auntie Anne's gift card.
Oh,
I think
gold.
I've got a Hot Topic and Wet Seal in here.
Wet Seal.
All right.
Okay.
So, Brian, a senior pastor, you'll that. Call it. This is heads. This is tails.
Tails! What I be kicking.
It is tails.
Yes!
All right. You'll maintain possession of the Bible for the first quarter. And ball. Team Ranson, would you like to pick a random prop for them?
Yep.
Take this time.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, obviously. Chuck, your random prop is
an actual
a little, yeah,
like
a little
hot dog stapler.
It is.
Okay, all right.
It's good that's not for Brian.
All right, my NGO, let's go.
Let's go.
Go, it's your time. Your time. Your time. Your
come
house.
On. Come on.
Your
come
house.
On.
Come on.
Come on.
Let's go.
All right. All right, hey, bring it in, everybody. Bring it in, because I'm going to guess that you are here today because if there's more for your life, you're up for it. Am I right? You want more. You could be anywhere today, but you chose to be here. You answered an invitation. And then think it's because if there is something here that can transform your life, you're leaning in. You're leaning in. I want to tell you something that's probably going to sound strange coming from a pastor. I believe there's something that can transform your life we're talking about today. And it's not telling you to come to church more often. Although great, come to church more often. Even today, it's not telling you you should pray more often. Although absolutely, if you want transformation, you should pray more often. But today, we're talking about something that I think can literally transform your life. And it has everything to do with the people you have around you. See, there's going to be two teams playing in the game today. But we want to talk about a team that literally makes or breaks your life. The Bible talks about this in many places. One of them is in Hebrews chapter 10, where the writer is encouraging followers of Jesus about community. And he says this, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together." Big idea today is this, everyone needs a huddle. Everybody say huddle.
Huddle.
We all need a huddle. And Brian, Kyle, and Allie are going to be talking about the kind of people you need in your huddle. But I want to talk about why a huddle is so important for a strong life. You know, when I think back on the hardest moments of my life, there are many that come to mind. But what I can tell you is some of them made me better, and some of them almost broke me. I think about a moment when I made a one-time decision that literally almost tanked my life. I think about a time when I almost died on the highway. I was actually in Columbus, right near Polaris Parkway. I think about another opportunity or a moment that was hard for me when I first moved to Cincinnati and I was isolating and I was in trouble. I was really, really at a low point. Apparently, my default spiritual gift is, I got this. That's actually not a spiritual gift, it's a spiritual deficit. Y'all, I don't got this.
Amen.
I need help. I need help. Amen. I also think about some other hard moments in my life. Low moments, you might say, like when I was at my dad's deathbed. But I was surrounded by dudes that really covered me in that time. I think about when my wife and I were facing the loss of our first child in pregnancy. And I'm telling you, we were supported and surrounded by people. And when I look back, the pattern is very clear. It didn't mean that isolation was only bad for me. Isolation is what made things dangerous for me. There are times in my life when I was going through hard things, but when I had close community, even though I didn't escape the pain, I didn't have to face it by myself because I had a huddle. The quality of your huddle, the quality of people around you determines the quality of your life. I want you to lock that in, the quality of your huddle. determines the quality and the direction of your life. There's going to be a lot of plays in the game today. None of them go like this. Why don't we all just do our own thing and vibe and see what happens? That never happens. There's a huddle. Relationship is so important. I don't know if I have a rooting interest in today's game, but if I do, it's probably the Seattle Seahawks, and not just because I'm wearing the Seahawks jersey, but it's really because of the story of relationship playing out on that team, and honestly, in some ways, the worst to first story of their quarterback, Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold actually started out the best. He was the third draft pick the year he came into the league, but Sam Darnold's career just tanked. First of all, he's with the Jets, so that's not helpful at all. But it tanked for him. He was less Sam Darnold and more Sam, darn it, why did you mess up again? Like, it was not going well for Sam. And yet, last year, he had the game and the career and the season of his life, 14 wins, only to have the Minnesota Vikings say, you know what, we're going to drop you and go a new direction at quarterback. So this is a guy who didn't feel like he had people in his corner. But he comes to Seattle, and within 1 year, Sam Darnold is playing for a Super Bowl. I think that's a pretty cool story. It's a pretty cool turnaround for him. Yep. And one of the things I love about his story is one of the people he credits with being a confidence booster for him is this guy, Ernest Jones, who he never shares the field with. He doesn't share the field with Ernest Jones because Ernest Jones is on defense. But when he came to Seattle, all the haters and doubters, Ernest Jones wanted to make it very clear, Sam Darnold is my... quarterback. He had some other words in there that I'm not going
to
use,
but
he had some other words. You know, maybe it would have helped if Ernest had his mouth stapled shut with this stapler, but he didn't. So he went ahead and said what he wanted to say.
That's good.
Might have helped him. I don't know.
That's very good.
Pastoral foul. Unnecessary excellence. Chuck, you're just too good. That's so...
Are you serious right now?
I'm trying to help them out, so I'm going to take 3 points just off of that for you.
Okay.
Wow.
That's good.
Guys, good call.
I want to object, but I'm not going
yeah,
to.
Yeah, no, we'll take 3 points. I think the need for a huddle is why Hebrews 10 was written. What does it say? It says, let us consider this. We need to lock in and realize lone wolves die. You were not meant to live alone. We need people, as it says, to stir us up. That word means to provoke, to stimulate, to push. You know why? Because we're better together. I'm a better preacher, communicator, leader, pastor because of the ways that Brian stirs me up, because of the ways that Kyle stirs me up, because of the ways that Allie stirs me up and helps me to be better together. We need people like that in our lives. Why? So that we can pursue love and good deeds. These are the marks of a life of following Jesus, the quality of your huddle. Determines the quality and direction of your life. Translation for me is if I'm going to have a life that looks like Jesus, I need people who won't let me drift. Because it's so easy to drift. But let me tell you, the power of a huddle, you're going to see this all day long in the game. Two things happen in a huddle. Number one, the huddle is where you get reset. Because guess what? Dudes are going to take hard hits in this game today. And when you see those hard hits, you know what they're going to do? They're going to get up. And they're going to go back into their huddle. We need people in our lives that we can go to when life hits us hard. And that's what you get in a huddle.
Yeah, and then
the beautiful thing is then you're going to get resent in a huddle. Because when they come to the huddle, you know what they get? They get the next play. They get the next play. One of the teams that's going to win the day, I bet you they're going to have a next play mentality. They're going to have a mentality that says, you know what? Forget what happened in the past. What's the next play? And I think some of us need to have a next play mentality. Some of you need to have a next play mentality when it comes to your marriage. You need to have a next play mentality when it comes to your job, to school. You need to have a next play mentality when it comes to your relationship with God, believing that when you get around a huddle that makes you better, God has a next play for you. You were not meant to sit on the sidelines. You are meant to be in the game.
Yes,
amen.
Right.
You're meant to be in the game. So I want to say this next part with love, but also with clarity. Because some of us are not in a huddle, not because people don't want us. It's because we're choosing isolation. We say we're too busy. We say we'll get to it someday. We say we've been burned in groups before. But underneath that is a decision to keep people at arm's length, to think that you can carry the weight of your life on your own, to think that you can follow Jesus on your own. And I love you enough to tell you, my friends, that decision is slowly killing you. We need a huddle because we don't fall apart on the field. We fall apart when we stop huddling. Even Jesus had a huddle. There are parts of Jesus' life that were available to the 12. There are parts of Jesus' life, especially his highest highs and his lowest lows, that were only available to three people, Peter, James, and John. Jesus needed a huddle. And if Jesus needs a huddle, I need a huddle. I need a huddle. You need a huddle. We need a huddle. Some of you don't even need this sermon. You don't need another message. You don't need more willpower. You need people. You need people. You need to know that there are people in your life who will help you get reset and will help you get resent. You need a huddle. And so today, as you listen to all of us talk, I want you to just lean in and ask yourself the question, what is pinging me today? And what am I going to do about it tomorrow? So I want you to huddle up right now with me. I want you to just lean in. Just do something physical that represents a posture I want you to have. Because this is what it means to be in a huddle. It means we lean in to relationship. We don't lean out to isolation. It means we lean in and take the risk of vulnerability. That's the power of a huddle. The quality of the huddle determines the quality of your life. It can change your life. Now, if you've ever played any sport, you know you got to break the huddle. So we're going to do that right now. Everybody put your hands in. Put your hands in. We're going to be a big huddle. If you're at home, if you're at a site, we're going to be a big huddle right now. And the way that you break a huddle is there's a word we're going to use to break the huddle on three. Our words are going to be huddle up, okay? So huddle up on me. Huddle up on three. One, two, three.
Huddle up.
Let's huddle up.
Touchdown team home.
Chuck, you're so good. I really hope you win. All right, 6 points for a great message, 3 points for the excellent use of the stapler. You did have the 3-point awesome penalty. So your extra bonus point question is, according to ChatGPT, within ChatGPT knows us more than we know ourselves, within 10%, how many people speak more than one language fluently?
Within 10%.
I know. Unbelievable.
Now, we had this question last service, you know.
Yeah, this
it is the same question.
It is the same question we had. They're all supposed to be you and unique. Well, I have to pretend like we didn't hear it.
Oh. Just so we can. Oh, that's my bad.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
We're kind of on.
Sorry.
Right. I want to win.
I'm trying to help you.
Right. You don't need to help. You got another one for us?
Within 10%. Forget that. That's silly.
All right.
Within 10%, how many people's jobs call for them to work remotely?
Call for them?
Yes.
I don't know.
Half?
25. Half?
35.
Think half?
30. I hear 30 in the crowd.
40.
90. 95. I got 40. Takes us. 40 comes 110? From 30 to 50. So yeah,
40%.
It's 45%.
Oh, come on!
For the extra point. Yeah. Resulting in an end of first quarter score, Team Tome 9, Team Ranson 0. Right. That's the end of the first.
Mingo draws first blood for Team Tome. I'll tell you what, today you spell the word super, M-I-N-G-O.
Absolutely. This is classic veteran moves right here. Using that random prop as if he planned it in his message. He might have a few of those staplers on his desk. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, there's only one way to find out what happens next. We throw it back down to the field for Allie Patterson in the start of the second quarter.
Come on, Allie!
Oh, hold on.
All right, please choose the random prop here.
Chuck.
Thank you. You don't want that?
Yeah. Allie, your random prop is a Bigfoot bucket hat.
I'll trade you.
Gotcha.
Bigfoot bucket hat. All right.
Bigfoot bucket hat. Okay.
Well, this year's NFL season actually highlighted for us one specific player that everybody needs to have in their huddle. This season in the NFL was the year of the Unk. The old guys are back, yes. Baby. They're yes. Everywhere in the NFL this year. And I just started watching that thinking sooner or later, every team has a situation where they need to call on an Unk, and you're going to have one too. When Burrow went out with turf toe, who did the Bengals call? 40-year-old Joe Flacco. When Jones went down with an Achilles injury and the Colts backups were hurt too, they called on Phillip Rivers at 44 years old. And the Steelers, man, still no viable starter after Roethlisberger. They signed Aaron Rodgers for a one-year contract at 41 years old this year. The old guys are everywhere. And all those situations had one thing in common. The game plan wasn't working. There was a gap. There was a gap because of injury or a gap because of experience or a gap because something was missing, but there's a gap in the game plan, and that's when you call in the Unk. And your life is going to hit a gap. It's going to hit a rough patch. It's going to hit a point where what you need isn't fresh legs and future potential. It's the weight of experience. You need an Unk. Unks are the people who keep us standing when life hits a rough patch. They've been there. An Unk is a seasoned vet, a sage, you know, somebody who can walk in wearing this hat and still have your respect because of all the things they've been through.
Yeah.
All right, that's
Unk step good. In and they stabilize a locker room, a team, a life because they've faced the opponent down before and they're still on their feet. A good Unk knows their job. A good Unk knows that they're probably not the long-term future of that situation. Their job is to step in and hold the line. Don't let it fall apart. Keep this team together. And their experience has made them really tough. Philip Rivers got asked by the press when he was going to face actual hits on the field again, and the press was questioning him, do you think you can handle it, you know, at 44 years old? And he was like, handle it? I'm looking forward to it. I've actually missed getting hit. That is the guy that you want to call. That's the Unk you need in your huddle, the one when your life takes some hits that can step in that gap and actually willing to take them for you. There's an Unk in scripture that I love, an Unk in the Bible. You may not know this guy. His name is Jethro, but I'll bet you recognize the name of his son-in-law, Moses. So Moses was the man in Israel at the most important time. He was like the starting QB, and he was doing everything. He was settling all the disputes, teaching the word of God, the chosen single point leader for the nation of Israel, but his system was breaking down. He was exhausted. The people were waiting all day for things. It just wasn't working right. He had hit a rough patch, and in walks his father-in-law for a visit. Jethro comes on the scene, and he pulls some classic Unk moves. Jethro names the problem, sees through the situation, and gives Moses a new game plan. Even Moses needed an Unk. Listen to what he tells him to do in Exodus 18. He says, "Select capable men from all the people. Men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, over hundreds, over fifties, and tens." Do you hear the game plan? Do you hear the wisdom? How did Jethro know? He stepped into the gap and he gave Moses a specific game plan based on the weight of his own experience. He wasn't trying to take over for Moses. He was trying to sustain the team so they could get to the future. That's what Unks do. A great Unk keeps you on your feet.
Excessive use of slang. You said Unk like 40 times. Pandering to the youth.
Point.
That was a lot.
Okay, right. Boomer, a three-point penalty is going to be assessed.
Yeah. Wow. Right. Wow. Right. First of all.
That's a good call, ref. That's a good call.
I love you, Boomers. I'm not one. I'm offended by you. I believe that God is equipping some of you in here, Boomers, Xers, even some of you millennials. I believe he's equipping you, calling you to be an Unk in someone's life. Hmm. You don't have to be 70 to do this. You're 10 years older than somebody. God can ask you to step in the gap of somebody else's life and help them through a rough patch. I have an Unk. She is about 11 years older than me. And I call her for some very specific times in my life. So I call her, for instance, maybe about 6 months ago, I was feeling super disconnected from God, and I called her. I really respect her faith. She's been following Jesus much longer than I have, and I said, what do you do in these moments? I need your experience to get me through. I call her for questions about my kids sometimes. I have like semi-adult kids, and hers are 30-ish, and they like her, and I want to know how she did it, right? I also call her when I find a wrinkle in a weird place. For real, I need a product reco. I found a wrinkle on my earlobe. I didn't know your earlobe could get wrinkles. Apparently it can't. So I call her for all kinds of different things. And guess what? She likes it. She wants to be called on. She wants to step in the gaps of my life. And you can do that for someone else. Friends, we are just starved for somebody to see the places that life isn't working for us and to step into that gap and help us get through. I want to talk to you men for a second because I read a survey question as I was doing some research for this message. And did you know that 66% of young men ages 18 to 23 agree with the statement, no one really knows me? 66%. That might be the most isolated, lonely generational statistic I have ever read. So men in the room, It's time to step up. You are the unk that 18 to 23-year-old men need. Yeah, right. It is time to answer the call. This is not over. Maybe you were the man or the woman for a season. God has so much more to offer you if you're willing to step in the gaps of somebody else's life. Joe Flacco had his career high passing game this season with the Bengals. Did you know that?
Wow.
That's crazy. There's so much more left for you to give. Let God use you as the wisdom, the experience, the love, the support that somebody around you needs. And be tough enough to take some hits for them, right? Because you have an unk that took them for you. There is the ultimate big brother, the ultimate sage, the ultimate wisdom, and it comes from somebody named Jesus, and he doesn't just have what it takes to fix up your life on the outside. He actually steps in the gaps that you and I have on the inside, and he begins to bring that stability, that wisdom, that character to our life from the inside out. The Bible says we have an enemy that's trying to take us down, and if Jesus isn't in those places, it's going to work. He's trying to mess with you. He's trying to mess with your identity, your family, your body, your mental health, your job, whatever, and he will take you down. But Jesus is the one that will step in the gap and pull you back That's on right. your feet again. He is right. the unk that will keep you standing.
Amen.
He proved to us on the cross. This is one of my favorite, most simple verses of what happened on the cross. 1 John 3:8 says that the Son of God, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work.
Come on.
That's the reason he came. Yeah. He came so that you can get back on your feet again. He came so that the tactics don't work, that you won't be flattened, that you'll end up standing again. A lot of us are going to leave here today, and we're going to walk back into a mess of some kind. I know that because I've got one, and if I've got one, I know we all have one. We're going to walk out this door, and we need something. We need two people. For whatever that situation is that you're facing, you need somebody who's been there and is back on their feet again, and you need Jesus. Amen. You need the God who says, I will never walk away from you, never forsake you, I will never leave you.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
The kind of God that we get to yeah. face these gaps yeah. in our life with. He has a new game plan for you, and you know you can just ask him to run it. You can just say, Jesus, I'm ready to leave behind how I was doing life. I want you to forgive me and come into my huddle, lead, call the plays. I'm ready to follow you to my new game plan. He'll do it, and it'll be the best decision that you have ever made because he's been there, he's looked the enemy in the face, and he ended up back on his feet again. He's the unk that keeps you standing.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
That's good work.
Touchdown Team Ransom!
That's a very good job.
I thought for a second, I was like, where's my prom?
There it is. Yeah,
I used it so long ago, I crushed it. I thought for a second
you
I forgot it.
You crushed the message, you crushed the prop usage, however there was the
I'm
3-point penalty.
You.
Hey!
Targeting! That's targeting!
Shh, you be quiet.
Targeting!
She thought your head was warm.
She's roughing the ref. You're going to have to talk to my mom about that. She's going to be furious.
Okay. Actually, she told me you need a hard time. She sent me in here to give you a hard
love.
Time. Yeah.
All right, here's your extra point question.
Okay,
your extra point question. Within 10%, how many people's favorite movie is in black and white?
What?
I'm going to... Black and white?
What year is it?
Wow.
I guess... How many people like It's a Wonderful Life? That's the only one I can think of. What do you think?
It's got to be low, right?
Like the beginning of Wicked. That was good. That was black and white.
That can't count.
30.
You want to say like
25?
That 5?
40%.
No.
We get a range.
Let's get a range.
So if we said 10, we'd have
2%.
0 to 20?
42%. Yeah.
Or 12? You
12.
Want to say 12?
Let's do 12. No, 40,
all right, 12.
42%.
Oh, I'm not making this up. It's 3%.
Ha!
So wait, hold on.
Wait, oh,
yeah!
You guys, math is so hard.
Math is really hard.
It's the only thing harder than sports.
One, two, three.
So, hold on. Okay, you did get, hold on. I honestly can't remember. I stopped scoring long ago, so let's just call it 6-7. That's the end of the half.
Oh, boy, 6-7. Castleman making up numbers as he goes. I thought Patterson's message was heartwarming. Some students out in the atrium fist bumped me. They said, what's up, Unc? I loved it.
They did. That's so wonderful. I do hate to break it to you, buddy, because unk has multiple meanings. One of them is uncool. So that's a bummer for you. That's what they were saying to you. But I tell you what, though. The ref doesn't know math. He doesn't know sports. He just doesn't know reffing. So it's really just anybody's game here. And we got a whole lot more for us today. So
including
exciting.
Including a halftime show coming up right on the other side of this commercial break.
Mingos, mangoes. Mingos, mangoes. Mingos, mangoes.
Hey, I'm Chuck Mingo. And these are my mangoes. After years of eating disappointing mangoes, I decided to launch Mingos. Mangoes. Yum, 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 yum. I heard all the kids like this ASMR stuff now. Weirdos. We cultivate and grow my little babies on the warm, humid, sunny streets of Philadelphia. Like Proverbs says, where a man goes, the flavor of the Lord follows. Immaculate.
Mango, mango.
Trust the mango. Taste the mango.
Chuck! You want the dream house without the nightmare price tag? That's where Property Cousins Realty comes in. We'll do anything to get this house into your budget.
Is there a crack in the foundation?
There's mold and fungus in this basement. Oh, this place stinks. This living room has water damage. Does the neighbor just have one too many lawn gnomes? We got you. And if you don't believe us, just ask my mom, one of our satisfied clients.
I told my son I want a new house. Next thing I know, I have a mansion for $900,000 under asking. I live next to Joe Burrow.
If we can't get you your dream house under your budget, then you can move in with her. Property Cousins. We close hard.
Now accepting new clients pending outcome of current civil litigations.
Introducing BetMGM and DraftKings' new digital sportsbook, DraftTimes. The first app that allows you to bet on your kids anytime, anywhere. $20 on your kid gives you a whole new reason to cheer. Over under. Billy plays at least 5 minutes today. I take the under.
That kid is trash.
Think Aisha can land a front handspring? Put your money where your mouth is. Do you know your kid's gonna lose? Bet the sure thing. So what if they cry a little bit? Just take them out to get some ice cream with your winnings. And now, new users who bet $5 on any game can win $200 free to exploit your children on future bets. Draft Types, making lame kid stuff fun again.
We won! We won!
No, we didn't! No! 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 No!
We are pleased to present your 2026 Super Bowl of Preaching Halftime Show. If you would, stand on your feet and make some noise for your Crossroads Band.
Thank you.
Oh my, my, you're taking me out of the ordinary. I want you laying me down to a dead and buried. I'm on the edge of your knife, staying drunk on your vibe. The angels up in the clouds are jealous, no, we found something so wild of the ordinary. Some noise for Crossroads students! Put those hands together! And if you know it, let us see it come, come!
Show, what a halftime show. You gotta love hearing Bon Jovi and K-pop Demon Hunters in the same show. Hey man, thank you guys so much for joining us. I feel like they hacked my Spotify playlist there, but the reality is we like to have fun around here because we believe Jesus created us to live full abundant lives, and I'd love to connect with you. Like, there's a thing to watching a community, but there's another thing when you take a step and actually get to connect with him. We'd love to get to know you. If you just text anywhere to 301-301, just text the word anywhere to 301-301. It'd be like myself or Jen, who you saw earlier, or a couple other members on our team that would love to reach out, connect with you, and help you figure out what it looks like to take your next step with God and growing with community. If you heard what Chuck said, talking about the importance of a huddle, hey, we have an incredible opportunity that could help form that for you and help you grow and take next steps with God. I want to give you a glimpse into what the upcoming run journey is going to look like right now.
Ever dream of a life that feels like more than just the grind of wake up, go to work or school, drive the kids to so many games, scroll a bit, pay the bills, scroll a little bit more, fall asleep in front of a screen, and repeat? If you listen, there's a voice that can cut through the noise of your busy life. It doesn't shout. It speaks like a spark. Awake, O sleeper. An invitation to raise your eyes from the endless tasks and look up. Because there is more. More than the grind, more than just making it to Friday. You weren't made to coast through life on autopilot or chase someone else's dream. You were designed to run a race that only you can run. And you can win. No matter the life you're currently living, you can run with purpose and level up. join us as we follow the journeys of the Apostle Paul and learn from the radical race he ran to change the world. It's time to wipe the sleep from your soul. Wake up, run your race, and win. Real Encounters with God, The Run Journey.
Man, that video gives you a great glimpse into what's coming. The Run Journey is going to be an incredible opportunity. If anything in that video resonated with you, any of that sense of being stressed out or being numbed out, or feel like you're constantly running but not sure that you're actually getting anywhere, The Run Journey could be incredible for you. It could be the perfect thing to help you start to get traction and go to a new place with God. Now, this experience brings together two of our most impactful and popular things that we've ever done around here. The first is called Real Encounters. We actually go to places around the globe and film on location to capture the truth of the Bible. And that'll be Turkey and Greece this year. It's incredible stuff. And the second thing is actually The Journey. This is something we've done for 15 years. I actually met my wife at Crossroads 15 years ago as part of A Journey. It's this thing where all of our teaching, our entire community, from kids and students all the way up to adults, where they focus in on one topic where they want to see God grow them. And this year, it's actually around the race that God has created you to run. There's three components to The Journey. The first is just the weekly service, watching the weekly teaching. That's like what you're doing right now at a site or online. Perfect. The second thing is actually doing this. This is your individual run journey guide. It's like a customized book for you that you can process and figure out how you're going to apply and run more hard after the race that you feel like God has put in front of you. And then the third is actually meeting with a group. We've got online groups and in-person groups. You need to have a huddle, as Chuck said. You need to have people that you're growing around and growing alongside of, and The Journey can help you do that. It's 5 weeks. Again, all the details at crossroads.net/journey. And you can actually check that all out and get started right now. I want to give you a sense of how to jump into The Journey right now.
What's a journey, you ask? No, not that one. It's not rocket science. It's just something life-changing we've been doing as a community for 20 years. Will it work for you? We're betting on it. Thousands of people have made incredible progress leveling up and getting off the sidelines of their lives, and you can too. Too busy? We get it. But this is so worth it if you're into finding your purpose and winning at life. Who doesn't need a win? I thought so. So, we've made it simple. There are just three steps to the journey. Step one, attend the weekend at a site or online. See the Bible come alive from here, or here, or even here. Step two, do your individual work in this specially designed personal reflection folder. Step three, meet with a group online or in person. We've created original content just for groups that includes this sweet original game that is both fun and deep. Heads up, Mattel. And our lead pastor, Kyle, has something encouraging, challenging, and inspiring just for your group via video each week as you discover the race you were made to run. Now all you have to do is show up and experience 5 incredible weeks that just might change your life. Go here to learn more.
So you're 45. Time to screen for colon cancer.
Like in my butt.
Introducing Cologuard, a non-invasive way to...
Oh, are you pooping a box and mail it?
That's right.
Insurance won't cover it.
Which is why we're introducing Cologuard Express. You just find a number 10 envelope, toss $5 in, take a dump on the $5, and we'll take it from there.
So I just brew it, drop it, lick it, and stick it in the mail.
That's right, and we'll do the rest.
That's perfect.
I know, right? Ask your doctor if Cologuard Express is right for you. If you never go to the doctor, I guarantee it's right for you. Cologuard Express isn't recommended for patients with a strong gag reflex. Cologuard Express. It's gross, but it's cheap.
Nope. I'm
mailman said, nope, no thank you.
I tell you what, we are having a good time today. And it's not just the commercials. It's not just the laughs. It's the teaching. It's everything. And you only get it here at the Super Bowl of preaching. You got a Beyonce fan that just blows on you. That's amazing. Everybody
so
needs that.
Good.
Everyone deserves that.
I want that wig when they're done with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you do. You need
it. Hey, we got a second half coming up for you. Send it down to the field for Brian Tone.
We're going up, up, up. It's our moment. You know we gotta be golden. Sorry, guys. I was preoccupied with something. Oh, sorry. That's my
bad. You know what, Matt? You would be great for the halftime show.
Oh, come on.
Don't you think? Like, I mean, I think you'd be great at the halftime show.
What would I even do? I mean, would I do, like, you know, a jazz square or, like, this?
Oh!
Maybe next year. Maybe next year. All right. So, Brian, you have possession of the Bible.
Every time. Seriously, press me every time. And it hurts me every time to watch you.
Me too. All right. Yeah, choose a random prop. Oh. Oh.
It even smells bad.
Yeah. You have leftover Chinese food.
It is leftover.
Been there for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Okay. All right. Boy, the smell. I'm going to keep this. I'm going to keep it right there. All right. There's a profound thing that happens when there are collisions. Jesus comes, and the Bible speaks clearly that the right understanding of Jesus is he's fully God and fully man at the same time. Wait a minute. God and man together? That collision is really potent and powerful. When you do have those things, it's really intense. We would do camps. Our man camp will have a whole bunch of kegs of beers at trailers, and right beside that is the prayer tent. And having those things together seems like they shouldn't be, but because they are, it's an amazing, beautiful collision. We have last week, if you came to Crossroads, we had 60 minutes straight of prayer. It was prayer. We just prayed for 60 minutes. It was great. It was creative. And then today, we're just having fun. Wait a minute. A church that prays for an hour straight and just has fun and has stupid junior high humor? Yeah. The collision there is the potency. Alley Cat talked a couple quarters ago about unks. Unks that we have to value the older people in our life and bring older people in our life. So I'm going to spend the rest of my time talking about how we need younger people in our life. You must have young people in your huddle.
Yeah.
Drake May, 23 years old for the New England Patriots. Sam Darnold is 28. Half the division quarterbacks were 26 years or younger. If you Google the average age of an NFL starting quarterback in the Super Bowl, it's going to be a number, I think, about 30, 31. But that's not the whole story. Because what overweights those numbers is someone like a Tom Brady who weights the numbers as a 42-year-old who won, but his very first Super Bowl was 24. The quarterbacks make their mark when they are young. Those of you who are young, if you're younger, yes, you do have a lot of young runway, but I'm telling you, right now is really critical. You don't just have a great future, you have a critical now. You're present now. Terry Bradshaw was 26 his first Super Bowl. Montana was 25. Marino and Roethlisberger, they had their first at 23. And if you're here today, which we all are, you're a part, even if just for one day, your first time, you're a part of the greatest movement the world has ever known. There's not even a close second place. And that's the movement of Jesus Christ, who started a church that's been ever expanding across the entire world. Yeah. And how did he choose to do that? Through young people. The Apostle Paul wrote most of the New Testament, more than anybody else did anyway. He has a young pastor he builds into, Timothy. Two books to him, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. Timothy's in his late 20s. Here's what he says to him. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. So, hey, don't let people look down on you just because you're young. Young folks, just because you're young doesn't mean you don't understand how God works. Just because you're young doesn't mean you can't hear from God in a significantly profound way. Our culture is disproportionately weighted old. You might say, I don't understand. How could you say that? Well, let me give you some examples. First of all, whenever you've seen a movie in the world of World War II era, you see the main figures or characters are like a John Wayne or a Clint Eastwood, or even if you took a look at what's the Steven Spielberg one, the most recent one?
Saving Private Ryan.
Saving Private Ryan, right. Tom Those Hanks. Guys are pretty old. You know, the tank commanders in World War II? What? Tank Saving Private Ryan.
20 years old.
Saving Private Ryan, recent movie. Good.
Well, okay. A more recent movie.
More recent than John Wayne.
Hey, I'm going to admit, I am old. I'm going to admit, I am old. I'm going to get into my age in just a moment. But nonetheless, no movie shows how young those GIs were. Tank commanders who ran tanks in World War II, they were 19 years old, 18 years old. Fighter pilots in World War II, they were 18, 19 years old. By the time they were 29, too old. It was young people through and through. And this even affects the way we are today. We can't even design movies that are historically accurate with young people having significant, important roles in the adult world. And today, we still have those of us who are older having a culture that's wired to support us, not necessarily younger people. Now, these are some stats you might have already been aware of, might be brand new to you, but it is what it is. A lot of people have talked about how our stock market is inflated. It's inflated because people in power are older and we do all that we can to keep the stocks propped up, which I'm very thankful for that because I'm 6 years old. I need that 403B, that my retirement account to be just fine and stable. But because we're not having massive corrections, price isn't coming down and young people can't buy into the market, which is why young people are so drawn to Bitcoin, things that don't make any sense at all.
Yeah, that's good.
You dropped your flag, ma'am.
No. This is a challenge flag.
Oh, okay, I'll get this
we
one
would
of these years.
Like to challenge Brian to explain Bitcoin to everyone.
Oh.
Right? Wouldn't you like to know?
All right. Here it is.
Tell us about it.
What is something worth? What somebody's willing to pay for it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's all it's worth. Your house, your car, whatever. So apparently, some people are worth paying for the idea that there's digital money out there that has no value. That's what it is.
Amen.
Overturned because Amen. I think he explained it as well as any of us understand it. So,
yeah.
Okay.
But young people are drawn to it because they go, I can get in on this. I can afford this. The average first-time home builder, I was 28 when I owned my first house, got my first mortgage. Kyle was 24, you said, 21. Yeah. Average first-time home buyer today is 40 years old.
Wow.
40. Here's a graph that shows that. That has massive ramifications. Variety of reasons for it. Houses more expensive. Hard time to save for a house when rent is elevated. I had to put 5% down on my house. They have to put 10% down. Whatever it is, I'm just saying, the signs show that when you're younger, it is hard right now. Really, really hard. We're making harder for young people. And the truth is, Jesus made it easier for young people. He brought people into his inner circle. We get it wrong with World War II movies, and we get it wrong with every movie about Jesus and his 12 disciples. Every single one is dead wrong, including The Chosen, which is really good, but it's wrong. It's wrong. Well, how? Because the disciples are always too old, way too old. How do I know that? Well, if we took a look at Matthew chapter 17, verse 26 to 27, Jesus is getting grief from the temple professional hierarchy that him and his disciples have to pay the temple tax. They're in Jerusalem. You're going to come here. You got to pay the temple tax. And so Jesus, there's a lot of stuff happens in the story. I'd love to give a whole sermon on it, but I only have one quarter for you. But let's take a look at what happens, how he raises the money for this temple tax. He says to Peter, go to the sea, cast a hook, and take the first fish that comes up, and when you open its mouth, you'll find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for me and for yourself. In other words, here's the money we need to pay for you and pay for me, nobody else. Well, why is that? It's because you had to be 20 years old to pay the temple tax or older, and only him and Peter were 20 years and older. Jesus is about 32, 33 at this point. We don't know how old Peter was. He was at least 20. And really, every single other disciple is younger than that. 14, 15, 19, all of them. This is basic Bible stuff. And yet, you can't find a single piece of art that reflects young kids with acne. who are his disciples. Why would this be? Is it young people have more energy? Young people have more flexibility? Young people are more gung-ho? Young people are more teachable? Young people are less prideful? Young people are, I don't know. I do know this. Every wave starts in the student section, which is why here at Crossroads, we pour massive resources into younger generation, and we restructure our organizational structure for younger people to rise. And a lot of stuff that happens at Crossroads, you're going, I don't even like because I'm 60. Like the halftime show, glad you liked it. I didn't like it. There was only one song that was worth anything, the whole thing. You know what that was? Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer. I'm like, oh, Bon Jovi, God bless America. Oh.
Holding onto the past.
Love it. Good call.
The Bon Jovi reference, Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, I admit it.
3 points
I admit it. Now, just one last thing about Super Bowl halftimes. And you know, some of you are surprised about this. There's a lot of hubbub about Bad Bunny and the actual Super Bowl going. I'm like, it's a great decision. I don't even know who he is. I've never listened to him. All the young people are like, why is that? Because the young people like Bad Bunny. Yes. It's a business decision. It's not an American decision. It's a business decision for the NFL going, we need to keep attracting younger fans. And those of us who are older will never get it. We won't. And in our church, I'm just saying to all of us who are a little older, we need to keep leaning to the next generation.
That's good.
We need to keep pushing young that's what Jesus did. That's good. So if you are young, now is your time. Do things that are going to set you up for your future. You have a long runway, but I tell you what, this moment, the runway is your most important time. Do things that are building your skills. Do things that are building your networking. Do things that are building your mind. Don't just mindlessly do what everybody else does your age. A higher percentage of those people are going nowhere. If you want to go someplace, you'll make different decisions to get yourself ahead. And then finally, for those of us who are older, it's time for you and I to be building into the next generation. We dumb things down too much for the next generation. We need to have high standards. Allow them to rise to the level of our expectations. All of us, you must have young people in your huddle.
Touchdown team, Combs! Brian, you're awarded 6 points for a great message. However, you did have the penalty, and you didn't reference the random prop.
Why aren't you helping me? Why aren't you helping me? What are you doing? You're my teammates. Gosh.
I let you down. I let you down.
You did.
I'm sorry. I'm so
you
sorry.
Did.
Food isn't the only thing
the Holy Spirit was flowing, and, you know, the Holy Spirit's flowing.
Just don't quench the much Spirit. Much.
Yeah, don't clench the Chinese.
All right. Well, for the extra point. Which you need. Within 10%, how many people have played in a marching band?
I mean, percentage of American population? How many people?
What percentage of the American population have played in a marching band?
Percentage of the American population. That's got to be low again.
I think it's low.
Yeah, I think it's marching band.
I think we're probably talking about.
You just like to wear weird things.
Hey, this is our question, not your question. Shut your yapper. Shut your small mouth over there.
You pull the crowd.
You see you with like a
marching band. How many people are in marching band?
It's got to be small. Yeah, how many people are in? That many?
All right. All right. We need an answer.
10%. I think if we do. I would go, 14. I would say 14. Okay. That's what I would say. Yeah. 13. 13%.
13%?
13%.
It is 10%.
Yes!
It gives you the extra point.
All right.
Giving you an end of third quarter score.
Can't believe, like,
Team Tome,
I was thinking,
so stupid.
11, and Team Ranson, 6.
Okay, let's do that.
All right, there's only one quarter left to go. Interesting stat, Brian Tome bought his first house at 28. 28 is also the number of years since Saving Private Ryan was released.
That makes total sense. He thought it was just yesterday. The mind must be going. That's okay. It's
exactly
the first time.
Right. Look at the replay here. So we got unbelievable backflip by Castleman, just hoping to be invited into the halftime show. And then, unfortunately, he remembers he didn't use the prop, but he does what every great teammate does.
He
blames Chuck Mingo
immediately.
That's right.
Great teammate, great showmanship there.
Let's head back down to the field. Kyle Ranson in the fourth quarter.
All right, Ranson, you have the Bible for this quarter, and your random prop. There you go. Is, oh, an arm sling.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, good luck with that.
Great.
An arm sling.
Perfect. Well, we've been talking about the people that you need in your huddle, but why does a huddle ever come to exist in the first place? It's because there's a galvanizer who goes to the people sitting on the sidelines, gets in their face, and says, the time is now. And God is looking at you and wanting you to be that galvanizer for somebody else in your life. Now, what makes the galvanizer? Two things. First, the galvanizer has seen the game clock and knows that it's the fourth quarter. You ever notice in an NFL game, everything changes in the fourth quarter? Sometimes it's frustrating because all of a sudden the offense that couldn't complete a 2-yard pass is making 50-yard bombs. The defense that couldn't get a stop is like the 85 Bears. It's crazy. Why does that happen? It happens because all the players, all the coaches look at the clock and they go, it's now or never. You can't just keep waiting on your life. Eventually, at some point, if you keep waiting to eat the Chinese food, it's going to go bad. So you guys might want to dig into that a little bit right there.
That's my teammate taking that right there. One. Yeah.
He used our prop. We should get those points.
No, that's my prop.
He used our prop.
No,
yes, he did.
That's true.
That's true.
Hey,
the prop was supposed to be used.
No prop got used. No one in this room, especially me, knows what a turnover is. So, yeah, I agree. The prop was used. You get the points. Well done. That's great.
Thank you.
That's great.
Thank you.
Hey.
Thank you.
Can you hand me my hat, please?
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. God bless you. God bless.
Sorry about that, honey.
Jedi mind trick.
Please have a seat.
And everyone else thinks we are like planning this stuff. We're not planning this.
Just
planning this.
Galvanizers know that it's the fourth quarter. In fact, do you know that God says that you and I were born in the fourth quarter? See, according to God, time is like me and Allie, short. Says this in Psalm 14. Lord, what are human beings that you care for them, mere mortals that you think of them? They are like a breath. Their days are like a fleeting shadow. See, the clock is ticking and time is short, but most people live as if the game will last forever. It's why when you go to a graveyard, it's full of buried treasure. And I don't mean gold bars in there like King Tut's tomb or something. I mean energy that never got spent. I mean chips that never got pushed in. I mean relational capital that never got invested for the sake of seeing someone else's life go forward. And I'll just tell you, none of us up here want that to happen in your life. We don't want that. It's why we're pushing this thing called the Run Journey on you. And yes, we're pushing it on you. Why? Because you weren't made to live a hamster wheel life that leads to nowhere. God says he has a gift for you, a race to run, purpose-filled, critical race to run for his kingdom. Do you know what it is? And do you know how to win? He says this in 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. See, God doesn't want you to have a participation trophy for life. He wants you to aim for the prize. In the NFL, that's the Lombardi Trophy. You're supposed to play to win. I don't know if the Ohio teams know that. You're trying to win the trophy, not go 6-11, not finish 5-12. And so I have a proposal for my home state of Ohio. What if we took Cleveland's defense, Cincinnati's offense, and smashed it into one winning team? Come on, let's make it happen. Let's make it happen. God wants you to win, but it will not happen unless a galvanizer gets in your face and says, the time is now. Now, galvanizers not only recognize that it's the fourth quarter, galvanizers don't wait for someone else to make the call. I'm a dad. I have 3 kids. And for the record, I like kids. I do. I like kids mostly because they're gullible. I mean, they'll believe anything. Just ask a 9-year-old to defend the Tooth Fairy's business model. They will do it confidently. You're like, really? You think there's someone that wants to pay cash for your teeth? The same yellow molars I have to beg you to brush every night. Really? And they're like, yeah, absolutely. It's wild. Now, adults, we also believe in crazy stuff. We do. We believe in someone else. We believe that someone else will come along and they'll make the call. We believe that someone else will step in and they'll extend the invite. We believe that somebody else will come along and they'll take on the battle. They'll do the fight. I'll just remind you, in the Bible, there was an army sitting around doing nothing about the giants shouting at God's people until a little boy came along with a sling and shot a rock at Goliath. Someone else doesn't exist. And the galvanizers get this. The galvanizers get it. Mike Vrabel, he's a galvanizer. He doesn't sit around and wait for somebody else to pull the coaches together and make the game plan. He doesn't do that. In fact, I read an article that said he got on his players for waiting for someone else to pick up their socks. He said, "Oh, wait for somebody else. It's your job." Drake May, he's a galvanizer. Doesn't wait for somebody else to pull his receivers together to put in some work. And God says he's tired of you waiting for someone else. He's looking at you to be the galvanizer. Jesus says this very clearly in Luke 10, verse 2. He says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Too many of God's people hear those words and they're like, "Amen, God, that's right. Send out a worker, someone else into the field." Well, you stop reading too early. Because in the next sentence, Jesus says, "Go, I am sending you." You. God's looking at you. He says, "I put you in the circles. I put you in intentionally so that you would make the call, so that you would send the text, so that you would make the invite, so you would form the group, so that you would do it. You." And man, I have good news for you, by the way. You don't have to be a good, perfect person in order for God to entrust you with that work. You don't have to have straight A's on your spiritual report card. You're like, "I don't have that." Me neither. It's okay. God wants to use you. He will use you. He's got a race for you to run. And we want you to know what it is. We want you to start running and win. And if you've heard nothing else today, I hope you've heard about a God who loves you. A God who wants to be the veteran in your life, the unk, the older brother who has your back and can walk you through whatever you're going through in your life. I hope you know there's a God who has the energy and the vision and the vigor of youth, who still believes, yes, still, that anything is possible in your life. There's a team captain who wants you in his huddle. That's the God who exists. Do you know him? Do you want him? Will you step in? That's the call. That's the decision. I think you've heard enough of us talking. It's time for you to talk to God. Maybe you're like, "I don't talk to God. I don't care. Try it." What do you got to lose? I want everybody to close your eyes right now. And I'll walk you through a couple conversations you might want to have with him. First, maybe you're somebody who you walked in here and you don't really know what you believe about God, but maybe something sparked in you. There was something said in a message that lit up something inside of you and you thought, "Man, I wish that was true." If that's you, you can pray this simple prayer to God right now. You can say, "God, if you're real, I want to know you." And maybe you want to make a commitment to him to come back and see. Maybe you're somebody who God's already got a hold of you. God's already changed your life. That's awesome. I want you right now to ask God to put a picture in your mind of the person or the people he wants you to run after. He wants you to be the galvanizer to. With those pictures in your mind, why don't you commit to God right now? Commit to be the galvanizer. Do not commit lightly, but commit. Still with your eyes closed, one last thing. I want you to put your hands out like someone's putting a present into your lap. Is that weird? Yeah, get over it. It's okay. It's okay. Put your hands out. I want to invite Brian to pray a blessing over your life.
All right, so God, I'm praying as our hands are extended, that you put something into us that we don't have right now. Maybe you give us some more grace. Maybe you give us a fresh touch of your spirit. God, you give us the awareness that we are forgiven. God, you put into us an appreciation for the people you put in our huddle. God, I'm also praying you put into our lives people who we don't have that we need. Thank you for being God of generosity, and we pray that you would do this in our lives, in all of our lives. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Touchdown Team Ransom!
All right. Now, before we get to your points,
We're going to get to their points because you got points for them, which I thought was super nice.
Yeah. I was trying to serve them. They needed help.
That's the favorite part of sports is one team helping the other team, and that's how I love it. So they have now a score of 14.
Deed.
Yep, good.
No good deed.
And then you had 6 points for a great message, an additional 3 points for the excellent use of your prop. No need for the extra point because you have 15 points. Resulting in an end of game, Team Ranson is the Super Bowl winner!
Fair and square. Yes, you did. Fair and square. I don't like it. Next service coming around. We'll see what happens. So, hey, you know, I thought this has been really good for all of us, at least for me. I'm curious. We've got something coming up really important next week. We haven't done a journey for a while, actually, where our whole church gets united about something. We do a multi-pronged spiritual growth strategy to grow in our lives a certain area. And a group huddle experience is really critical. I'm just curious, what are you guys doing for your huddle?
Kind of for the small group? Yeah, so I'm going to be helping out with an online group, and then there's a group of guys getting together on Monday night, and so I'm inviting a couple others to join us, but we're going to be doing that on Monday nights together.
Mm-hmm. I haven't thought about it at all until this weekend, so now I am thinking about it. Fortunately, I have about 2 weeks to get it together, so Lib and I will probably do some stuff with a couple friends, and and I'm probably going to do some guy stuff, too. So, but it's important for me. We're going to do that. How about you, Alicat?
Yeah, we've done the last few journeys whenever those were separately, like Bill's done it with guys, and I've done it with women, and this time we want to do it together, so we're going to do some couples and invite them into our home, and we'll host.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to help host some online groups, and then I texted my guys text thread and just said, hey, who's in? And surprisingly, a lot of guys are in. Yeah, pretty awesome.
Good job galvanizing.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so, hey, it has been fantastic. Let's just take it right back to all of our sites where your community pastors will tell you what they're doing.
Hey, thank you so much for tuning in today. Now, Crossroads is not always like this, but it's always, always good. It's a chance for you to grow with God and take a new step in your relationship with Him. Now, we got some good stuff happening next week as we kick off the run journey. I'm curious, want to hear from y'all. What are you most excited about the run journey?
Yeah, like I said, it's an opportunity to grow with God. And one of my favorite things about, I think, Crossroads is I'm ready to grow with God. I don't have to do it alone. So I love the journey because everybody's in a group. That's everyone right. has individual work, and we're all showing up every single week online or in person.
Yeah. Arturo.
You know what? I've never done a group journey kind of thing here, so I'm excited
First
to do
time.
That with my wife. And we just recently became a fan of board games, so I'm excited to be
double
able to do
whammy.
That.
Yeah,
all
double
right.
whammy.
World's
double
colliding.
Whammy.
I love it. Jen?
I get to host online groups for the journey, which right. I'm pretty pumped about. So myself, you're doing one.
Yeah.
Chuck Mingo, Hannah Driscoll, Justin Mosteller, just yep. to name drop a few.
Yeah, you can, why so not? You can join not? Our Shameless. Groups. We'd love to Shameless. Have you.
Nice. I didn't get invited, though, so oh well.
No, sorry. So I'm excited about that. It's going to be
yeah.
great.
It's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Miko.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, so since we're actually going to have the journey available to everyone in prisons across
For the
country.
First time, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, on the Pando app. I'm excited to see the response.
That's good.
That's
yeah.
honest.
That'd be cool.
Ross.
Yeah, and being a part of Crossroads Anywhere, I'm from Tampa, and you know what we saw today on the field, the big thing is no excuses. There's no excuse for you not to get involved in this journey. There's right. so many awesome ways. As a church, wherever you are, jump on board. Let's play some games.
And wait, so you don't work here and you're still going to do it?
Yeah, I don't yeah. even go here. So
I'm not sure. Found him on Craigslist.
Yeah, exactly.
Along with that jacket.
It's a really
Whoa.
Nice jacket.
Whoa.
It's my Sunday best, thank
That's
you.
Right.
He killed that leopard.
All right, hey, here's the real question. We're done with the Super Bowl of preaching. Who do you guys think is going to win tonight? Who's got Patriots?
Oh, dude, I'm a huge Patriots All fan. Right. Give me Legacy Drake
Dynasty
May for the
okay.
win.
Who thinks Seahawks?
Seahawks.
Who wants to see a Listen. Different game? Yes,
I'm rooting for Seahawks and yeah. San Jose.
So. That's right.
Yeah, all
that's
about right. that halftime.
All about those commercials.
Hey, guys, thank you yes. so much for joining us. We'll see you next week for the kickoff of the Run Journey.
Let's get some hot dogs.
Yeah. Let's go.